الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين صدق الله العظيم علماء کرام most respected brothers and sisters listening over receivers we know that these are the months of Hajj and very soon we will be in the days of Hajj the first flights from South Africa of the Hujjaj will most probably be leaving this week. Last night we were discussing some issues around the Kaabatullah Sharif, the construction of the Kaaba Sharif, the tajalliyat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that descends upon the Kaaba Sharif, and that every person who is there, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses him or her with 60 blessings if they are making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. And 40 if they are making namaz day in the Haram Sharif. And 20 if they are just watching the Kaaba Sharif. There are great, great virtues of the Kaabatullah Sharif. It was the first house built for the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on earth. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came down onto earth. Then directly below the Baytul Ma'mur, this Kaabatullah Sharif was established. And I gave you some details about the different constructions. And that it is not the walls of the Kaaba Sharif, but it is that piece of ground which is the real Kaaba Sharif. Baytullah Sharif we go to make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, but in reality it is the Rabbul Bayt whose tawaf we are making, that tajalli that is coming down. Therefore many of our mashayikh, when they were making islah of somebody, and when that person said that I'm going for Hajj, so he said, have you recognized the Rabbul Bayt? Of course the person must proceed for Hajj if it is farz. But they used to ask that, have you recognized the Rabbul Bayt? You will make tawaf of Baytullah, but have you recognized the Rabbul Bayt? Because that is what you will really be doing tawaf of, the tajalliyat. So nevertheless, that was a discussion that we had last night, and I also mentioned that Hajj is a very, very special kind of ibadat, because we have a new audience on a Jumu'ah day. That it's a very special kind of ibadat. Our namaz we can make in Durban, we can make in America, we can make in China, we can make in any part of the world. In Makkah, Mukarrama, Madinah, Tayyiba, wherever the time of namaz arrives, we can make it. In the same way, when you are fasting, then you can keep fast in South Africa, you can keep fast in any part of Africa or any part of Asia or any part of Europe. When the days of fasting arrive, we fast. The same with zakat, you can give your zakat any part of the world. If a person is living in the east or west, north or south, whichever part of the world the person is staying, when the time of zakat arrives, he must give his zakat in that country, wherever he is. But when it comes to Hajj, then there is a special call that you must leave your home, you must leave your city, you must leave your country, and you must come to Makkah Mukarrama. And in Makkah Mukarrama also, at a certain time of the year and certain days of the month, as I was explaining last night, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the creator of the universe, He is the creator of mankind and jinnkind. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knew that what the population is going to be at a certain time and how many people are going to be making Hajj. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. So why must everybody be called there on a certain day or on certain specific days? 8th, 9th, 10th. Zulhijjah, why must we all go there at that time? It could have been made very easy, like how we make our namaz in different places, we give our zakat in different places, we keep our fast in different places. In the same way, it could have been made easy that any part of the year, Arafat is there, Muzdalifah is there, Mina is there. So there is no need to all come there one time, and 3 million people, look at the difficulty now, that everybody has to go at the same time to Mina, same time to Arafat, same time they are proceeding to Muzdalifah, and those people have to make preparation for the Hujjaj. So just for the 5 days they have to go into so much of preparation. Allah Ta'ala could have said that somebody can come in Muharram, somebody can come in Safar, somebody can come in Rajab and Shaban. Come there, make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, then go to Mina, go to Arafat, go to Muzdalifah. Make your du'as there, stand there for a little while wherever you have to stand, and pray where you have to pray, and you will become a Haji Sahib. But that is not what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has ordered. Everybody has to be there at a specific time. Then again, look at the libas of the person. Whether he is a king or a beggar, whether he is a mufti sahib or qari sahib or haji sahib, before also he must have performed many hajj. Or whether the person is a businessman, or whether the person is a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer or a scientist, whatever he may be. But if you say you are coming for hajj, so now remove that libas of yours. Take off those clothing, all that which distinguished you from others. Now take that off. Everybody is one simple, as if they have put on their kafans and they have prepared themselves and they are proceeding in that direction. Now all these issues are discussed normally when we are discussing the Hajj talks or when discussing Hajj. But what I am getting across to you is that Allah Ta'ala could have made it simple by making it possible for everyone to make their appearance in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah at whichever time is convenient during the year. But there is great wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in that massive congregation that takes place. Great wisdom. Now look at all the virtues of Hajj and look at all the benefits of Hajj and read the philosophy of Hajj. So then we will understand that what are those benefits and what are those virtues. Nevertheless, so Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith, the Quran Sharif itself first of all, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says it's an obligation, it's a duty upon the people to make the Hajj. Those people who can afford it, it is a duty upon them, it's an obligation for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to perform this Hajj. So this Hajj is an obligation upon those people who can afford to make that journey. When they are going, they leave behind some money, some food, clothing, and the shelter is also taken care of. Whatever requirements are there, essential, it's all taken care of for the family, and then they proceed for Hajj. Now this is a duty upon those people who can afford it. And then look at the severe warning, that those people who refuse to obey, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not in need of His entire creation. Allah Ta'ala is Ghani Anil Alameen, because He is the provider. So there is a kind of a special ibadat, or this is a very special kind of ibadat, that the person has to leave his home, he has to spend a certain amount of money, he has to make a certain kind of sacrifice. The person was never ever used to queuing up because he had a lavish home, or he had a mansion, or he had a palace. Now there he had so many toilets and so many showers and everything else. Now whoever he may be, now he too must queue up. Different queues he has to also follow. And for the ordinary person, even in the immigration, there's queuing. For the passports, there is also queuing. For accreditation and registration and all kinds of application, there's queuing. In everything, the person is now going through a process, a kind of purification. Therefore, now that we're talking of purification, something that we did discuss in the past, must be 2-3 years ago, and many people must have discussed it in the Hajj Bayans. Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion, one murid of his, one disciple, he said that he made Hajj and he came back. So he asked him a few questions. Now we cannot discuss all those questions and all those answers in the limited time, but there is great lesson in there for everyone, even those who have performed Hajj and not performed Hajj, and those who will be performing Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. First of all, he asked him a simple question. He said that you made Hajj. So obviously you made some intention and niyat when you were making the Hajj. So did you make a niyat? Did you make a proper intention when you were making this Hajj? He said, yes, I made intention. So he said, when you made that intention of Hajj, then at that time did you also make the intention and the niyat that you will distance yourself, that you will stay away from everything that is against the spirit of this Hajj? When you are making that niyat at that time that I'm making Hajj, so at that time you also made that intention and niyat that now that I'm making this Hajj, now my entire life I'm going to stay away from everything that is against the spirit of this Hajj. Because that is what is the most important thing, the spirit. Otherwise just comings and goings, they are plentiful all around the world, we have comings and goings. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also warned of the latter times, as we discussed also last night and many times, that people will be making Hajj for different reasons. Some will be making Hajj just as tourism. They say we're going for a tour. So a part of the tour is making Hajj. The rich people, that is what they will be doing. And those who are in commercial line, so their niyat will be nothing but just business. But I explained this last night. There's nothing wrong in doing business. If you are buying khajur from there, selling this side, or buying something from this side, selling that side, there's nothing wrong. But then the niyat will become just the business, but they will say we are going for Hajj. So they must make it very clear that I'm going on business. And by the way, I'll be making Hajj. Mustn't say I'm going for Hajj, and by the way, I'll be doing business. Allah Ta'ala knows what the intention is. And then those who are learned and scholars, they'll be just making for name and fame and show. The so and so made so many Hajj, so many Hajj the person made. Chain of Hajj. So he said, therefore, did you make that niyat that I will distance myself from everything that is against the spirit of this Hajj? So he said, no, that I didn't make. So he said, well, then you haven't made the correct niyat. You didn't even make the proper niyat. And he asked him, he said that when you were getting ready for ihram, so did you remove your clothes? Obviously, again, the person has to remove his normal clothes to put on the ihram. And then he was going to have a shower, or he's going to make wuzu. So he said, did you remove your clothes? So he said, yes, I did. So he said, at that time, did you remove everything that was ghayrullah from your heart? The ghayrullah, the clothes of ghayrullah, in other words, which have engulfed us, that our yaqeen has come on material things, our yaqeen, our trust, total trust and faith on people or on material things. That's our total trust today. We are not saying the making use of material things. We all have to make use of material things. We all need money. We all need homes. We all need clothes. We all need lots of things. So one is the usage of all these material things. And the other is our absolute trust in these material things. That if I have got these things, then definitely I will be successful in life. I'll be successful in this world and in the akhirat. And if I don't have these things, then finish, I'm unsuccessful. So that yaqeen and trust, the person makes use of the security equipment. But he must not have his tawakkul and trust in that security equipment. His trust must still be in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person will make use of his motor car to go from one place to another. But that same motor car can become a maut car, car of death. So therefore his trust, so he said, therefore did you remove this ghayrullah? Did you remove everything from your heart except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? He said, that I did not do. He said, well then you did not remove your clothes. As we say in the zikrullah majlis many a times, dil mera ho jaye ek meydane hu. Dil mera ho jaye ek meydane hu. Tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. Aur mere tan mein bajaye aabo gil. Dard-e-dil ho, dard-e-dil ho, dard-e-dil. Ghair se bilkul hi uth jaye nazar. Tu hi tu aaye nazar, dekhu jidhar. Oh Allah, whichever side I see your qudrat, I see your power, I see your glory, I see your might. I see you in your creation. In that one little seed of the mango, one little seed of the mango. If somebody has to say there are a billion mangoes or a million mangoes, then we'll say you've gone off your head, go to some asylum. But take that mango seed, plant it in the ground, and after some time it germinates and grows into a huge tree. And then we get that tree producing mangoes upon mangoes, and it carries on sometime for 100 years. Now where did it all come from, that one seed? Now who is it that is causing it to germinate and then produce so many mangoes. So we see, O Allah, you in your Qudrat, or we see your Qudrat in your creation, in the trees, in the waters of the ocean, in the skies, in the heavens, in the earth, in ourselves, in our fingers, on our thumbprints, we see your Qudrat and your power, my Allah. So therefore he said, did you remove those clothes? He said, yes, I did. He said, but at that time did you remove Ghairullah from your heart? He said, no, I did not. He said, then you have not really removed even your clothes. Then he said, did you make ghusl and wuzu? He said, yes, I did. To cleanse yourself, did you make ghusl? Did you take a bath before you put on that ihram, towels and sheets? He said, yes, I did do that. He said, but when you put on those ihram sheets, when you took the ghusl and you took the bath, then at that time did you cleanse yourself of all the evil? Of course, this murid of his was saying it in humility, I did not. But he was teaching us a lesson. He said, at that time when you, did you cleanse yourself? Did you purify yourself from all the evils, from all the haram in your life, from all the vices, from all the other actions that you used to engage in and indulge in prior to coming for Hajj? So did you cleanse yourself of all that? It's not a question of just going for Hajj. Now these days we say, the people say, clearly they say, I met my fiancé way in Arafat. My first meeting with my wife was in Mina. My first meeting was in the hotel room in Makkah Mukarrama. And that is where we had all our discussion. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. So therefore he says that, did you at that time cleanse yourself of all the evil? And how many people, believe me, because we deal with cases all the time, so many people actually plan it in that way. They are in an illicit love relationship with some woman, and they are communicating and chit-chatting on the mixit and chat lines and computers and everything else. And now this person is going for Hajj. So they are planning it, that you also must come for Hajj and we will meet there. People have been caught committing zina in the hotel rooms of Madina Sharif. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from his azab. So therefore he says that when you remove these clothes to put on the ihram and you took the ghusl, so he said, at that time did you also take a bath from all those sins? That's what it means. That just as you had a bath and you washed your body and removed the dirt from your body, the dust and dirt from your body and the perspiration smell from the body was removed, but was the smell of all the sins and of all the evils and all the devilish actions that were in your life before coming, did you remove that with the ghusl? Did you give a bath to all that? Did you cleanse yourself of all that? He said, no, Shaykh, I never did that. He said, well, then you didn't even take a bath. Then you didn't even take a bath. He said, after you put on your ihram, you entered into the haram. You entered into the haram of Makkah Mukarrama. When the person is entering into the haram of Makkah Mukarrama, so he said, at that time, did you also give up all the haram? When you entered into the sacred city, that is haram. So at that time, did you give up all the haram also? Our Hujjaj, you and I, all of us who may have, or those of us who have made Hajj, and some of us who have made Hajj many times, you must think very, very seriously what he is asking and what is the response. So he says, when you entered into the haram, then at that time, did you give up all the haram? And many times I have said that if you have to spell it in English, then it is H-A-R-A-A-M. So there's already harm in haram. And haram, English spelling, there's double A, meaning double harm. Whatever haram a person engages in, there's double harm in it. It will never benefit the person. In no haram in the world is there any kind of benefit. There may be a little bit of enjoyment, just a little bit of enjoyment. But that is something that I have mentioned so many times in that beautiful share of my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, and I have no hesitation in repeating it many, many times. Mana masriyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Mana masriyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, مگر اس پالنے والے سے یہ کیسی بغاوت ہے، ذرا سی دیر کی لذت ہمیشہ کی ندامت ہے، ذرا سی دیر کی لذت ہمیشہ کی ندامت ہے، جنازہ آبرو کا دفن کرنا یہ کیا حماقت ہے. اس آئی اگری ود یو دیٹ ان ڈیڈ دیر از اے لٹل بٹ آف پلیزر ان ایون حرام، اے لٹل بٹ آف پلیزر دیر ول بی. اے پرسن از کمیٹنگ زنا ول گیٹ سم پلیزر، دا پرسن ہو اسٹول سمبڈیز کار مرسیڈیز بینز اور رولز رائس ہی ول گیٹ سم پلیزر ان ڈرائیونگ اٹ فار اے لٹل وائل. ذرا سی دیر کی لذت ہمیشہ کی ندامت ہے. But first he says that this little pleasure which is haram pleasure, what kind of rebellion is that against that Allah who is the one who blessed you with the sight, with the hearing, with the speech and with the wealth? Because whatever haram we are going to engage in, we are going to definitely use the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Show me one person that can gaze at a woman, cast lustful glance without eyes. Can there be any person that casts lustful glances, goes down to the beachfront to look at all the naked women there, but without eyes? Can there be any person who will listen to the music and listen to all the pop songs and everything else, or ghibat and everything haram, without having ears? Can there be any person who speaks lies, or who takes false oaths and qasams, or the person swears and curses, or the person abuses with his tongue, whatever false speech he makes, but he's got no tongue? Can that happen? Can a person go to all these haram places, theatres, cinemas, discos and casinos without money? So some ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala is going to use for Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. So therefore he says, what kind of rebellion is this? And then he says, ذرا سی دیر کی لذت ہمیشہ کی ندامت ہے. Ask all those people who have landed themselves in prison because of crime, that they will say that it was temptation. Of course, we're not talking about those people who are there because of other reasons, for dini reasons, or for false accusation, or some kind of other reason. But we're talking about those who committed crimes. They will say temptation. Temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. So he says, ذَرَا سِي دَيْرَ كِي لَذَّتْ ہمیشہ کی ندامت ہے، جنازہ آبرو کا دفن کرنا یہ کیا حماقت. Just for that little while of pleasure, for a person to lose his entire respect, what kind of intelligence is that? It's stupidity. That Allah Ta'ala gives the person, and especially a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala gives him respect. And more so the person who's got his beard and kurta and topi and everything else, and is looking like a pious man. Now if that person is caught committing adultery, or that person is caught on the porn sites, or that person is caught stealing, or that person is caught embezzling funds, or that person is caught in other kind of crime, so then what's going to happen? That izzat, that respect that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to that person, he has destroyed it. He has buried the janazah of that respect. We will stop here for today. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, we will continue inshallah. But on Monday night inshallah, we'll be continuing. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless all those who are going for hajj with hajj maqbool, mabroor. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and asan for them. And we ask them to remember us in their du'as. And if they remember, give our salat and salam at the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And pray for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam at large, the difficulties and hardships and pain and suffering they are going through. And also for mankind in general throughout the world, make du'a for their hidayat, and that Allah must remove the difficulties, pain, suffering and problem. And may Allah Ta'ala bless everyone with ikhlas in the niyat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.